Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Grainger. Get the industrial-grade products you need to help keep your operation running when you call 1-800-GRAINGER or click Grainger.com. You're in the whole
6010. Yeah. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. I'm trying to let them, they're singing in the background. I want to be able to let Hutch be able to have his sign. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, my name is Daniel Dopp here on Fantasy Focus Football, joined by Mike Clay and Stefania Bell. It is April 29th. It is Monday, the Monday after the NFL draft.
It is Monday.
Guys,
that's true.
I had so much fun this last weekend. The NFL draft, while incredibly robust and very tiring, is always so much fun, in part because not only is there so much hope and excitement going into the season now, I got a bunch of names I can talk about, but we got to watch a bunch of kids' dreams come true, which was really fun.
I thought you were going to say we got to see a lot of Detroit.
Well, we did get to see a lot of Detroit,
they
too.
They showed up. I got a props to your hometown there.
What up, Doe?
What up, though? I learned, yeah.
We
saw all the sayings.
Yes.
Everybody tried to do it,
yeah.
But not everybody can deliver like you.
And even better, like the Lions were not picking top five or anything like
right?
that.
How great is that?
Right? That's got to be so different for you. You're just used to it, right?
It
was just like tradition
fantastic.
Every year they were picking in the top five. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was very cool. Our buddy Field Yates was there, which was very fun with Mel Kiper Jr. So shout out to Field covering his first NFL draft in that role. Dude absolutely crushed it as he always does.
And he's still recovering, I guess, because he's not here
with us.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
No, I think he's actually doing other, more important big time shows
still.
Today that no time for us.
2025 draft, mock draft.
Yes, he's already started.
I think they're now grading.
Probably.
You know how they do. They debrief and grade.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, on today's show, we are not necessarily going to grade, but we are going to debrief coming out of the draft. Mike,
I have found
out you already have done projections for everyone in the NFL, including all of these rookies. So we got a bunch of projections we can go through, talk about where everyone's going to be ranked.
Yep, everything's done. We started, we have like day one, day two, then day three starts at noon. And when round seven ends, the draft is complete. So we have the full picture. And then it was just, I worked basically until Sunday at dinner time, straight through aside of some time for resting. So, projections are there, ranks are there, dynasty, rookie.
What do you do with the UDFA signing folks?
We ignore those.
Okay.
No. No, they're going on too. I was adding them right before I came here.
There's a couple actually interesting signings in there.
Oh, yeah, they'll make the team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple of UDFAs that have done some decent things in fantasy over the last handful of years.
Correct.
I believe Austin Eckler was a UDFA, was he not? James Robinson.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, a handful of names. All running backs for what it's worth. I don't know. We'll see if that trend continues. All right, we got a lot of stuff we're going to dive into, though, today. Let's start with the quarterbacks, though, because this was one of the draft's biggest positions. We had six quarterbacks come off the board in the first round. Five of them were basically chalk, to be honest. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, all four of those guys went where we had kind of mocked and thought it was going to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix ended up going to the Denver Broncos. And then
we projected that one as well.
Yep.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. And then Michael Penix Jr., the
this
Falcons
one no one had.
Still
this, one, this, this ruined every mock. It's like in the tournament, like if a 16 team beats a one seed,
yes.
Every bracket's dead. This was what
yes.
This is the pick that killed.
That's
every,
what it was.
Every
so,
mock.
In all honesty, Mike, there's not really a whole lot to talk about with Michael Penix Jr. from a redraft perspective. He's going to be behind Kirk Cousins, so we're going to probably ignore him for this conversation. Save it for a dynasty podcast we do later on. So I want to look at the five quarterbacks that are going to have starting gigs here, understanding where they were drafted. Which one of these guys should come off the board first in a redraft league? Mm-hmm.
So last year when we were evaluating fantasy quarterbacks, we said, okay, so C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, they were picked 1-2, but actually Anthony Richardson might be the better fantasy option in year one because what he does with his legs. And by all accounts, that was right, health aside. I mean, C.J. Stroud was very good. He kind of broke the norm, and I'll talk more about that in a second when we get into Caleb Williams. But Anthony Richardson was terrific, and that looked like good process. Well, same kind of thing here. Caleb Williams can run a little bit, maybe quite a bit, but Jaden Daniels is one of those next-level Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen sort of guys who could put up huge production with his legs. So I think he's the answer. It's close for me, but I think Jaden Daniels is the quarterback from this class I prefer in redraft this year. I don't have him ranked in my top 12, but he's just outside. He is the most upside because of what he can do with his legs.
Yeah, it's just like a cheat code, right? Stefania, that's one of the things we talk about within fantasy quarterbacks. If you can use your legs to be able to be mobile and get those yards, it's like a little cheat code to help elevate your floor.
It's really fascinating to see how Jaden Daniels kind of flew up the boards. You know, I mean, really this whole pre-draft process, people saw good things from him and he elevated. I do want to say, though, I'm maybe a little bit partial to Caleb Williams because I did spend some time with him recently. And what's interesting to me about Caleb Williams, think of all the people who wanted to work with him pre-draft, like all the people who sort of wanted to get their hands on Caleb Williams, see what they could do. And he chose to go do his pre-draft training down in Jacksonville with Tom Gormley, a physical therapist who's focused on biomechanics and basically has a team, quarterback coach, motion capture from a guy named Chris Hess who does that different places around the league, trying to find ways to optimize your efficiency, understanding every quarterback's different. But guess who he also works with?
I know the answer, so I'm not going to say it.
Well, say it for the people.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy, who they both appeared in this feature that I did and was on SportsCenter.
Pat
myself on the back.
Make sure you check that out if you have not seen that
still
feature.
Still on .com if you want to find it. It's on my Twitter X handle. I've got it pinned. It's not pinned yet. But anyway, you can find it there. Scroll through. And guess who else he works with? Who were you just talking about last year who kind of surprised people with how good he was?
CJ Stroud.
Mark Martin.
Oh. Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson.
Stop it.
He was just talking about Mark Martin for a while.
I do that often. I'm going to later in the show, too.
The reason I talk about that is because Anthony Richardson was a bit of a wild card coming out. People weren't really sure. He hadn't started enough in college. You didn't know what you'd see. You knew he was wildly athletic, so that was always the promise. But how would it translate to the NFL? And so I think it's interesting to me that you've got these two quarterbacks who've had a track record that exceeded people's expectations. Might you be looking for the same thing out of Caleb Williams if he becomes not only efficient, he's got passing weapons that are unbelievable in terms of the three receivers, Roma Dunze being one of them. But he also, I think, you know, I think he's processing wise, smart enough to know when it's going to be time for him to make plays. And I think he's going to become a more efficient quarterback in the NFL.
I think Stefania kind of led us there, Mike. I mean, I'm with you on Jaden Daniels because of the rushing being the quarterback, rookie quarterback, I would take off the board first. But Caleb Williams is in a situation that I think is the best out of all of these quarterbacks, given the wide receivers, the pass catchers, adding DeAndre Swift as a nice pass catcher out of the backfield. How high would you take Caleb Williams this year if you were going to draft him?
Yeah, so I have him QB 16, so one spot behind Jaden Daniels. And you're right, how often, look, usually teams picking this early in the draft are very good.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, so a quarterback steps in, they don't have a good supporting
guy. You saw it last year with Bryce Young and the not riches that he has.
Or New England this year. We'll get to Drake May in a second 100%. Briefly, but it's not like this for Caleb Williams. Remember, they traded for this pick. They got it from Carolina. That's the reason they were picking first overall. But DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett's their number two tight end now, DeAndre Swift. We like Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. They have a ton of good players, solid offensive line. So he's in a great position. That gives me optimism that he could put up QB1 numbers. But think about this. First-round quarterbacks over the last decade, three have reached 4,000 passing yards, two have reached 25 passing touchdowns. Only three were top 12 fantasy scorers, Kyler Murray, CJ Stroud, and Justin Herbert. Two of those guys, Murray and Herbert, did a lot with their legs as rookies. CJ Stroud was very much the exception to the rule. So that's the only warning I would give. Don't say, well, CJ Stroud did it last year, so anyone can do it. It's so rare to do that.
Correct.
He's going to have to run the ball quite a bit. But again, there's reasons for optimism that he could because of the supporting cast around him. So I think he's a front-end QB1, but again, it's a steep hill to climb to be a QB1 as a rookie quarterback.
Well, part of that too is because of the depth of the quarterback position. We have more quarterbacks running than we ever have. This is as heavy of a passing league as it has ever been. So not only are we passing the ball more, but we've got these dual threat guys under center, which means this position, like even when you have these great young rookies come in, it's like, well, how am I going to get them up in the top 12? Who are you going to? Are you going to put them in front of Kyler Murray? Are you going to put them in front of Aaron Rodgers? Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
But I feel like one of the things that we always talk about, and when we're looking back at the end of the year, we talk about touchdowns. So you're like, who are going to be the touchdown makers? And granted, you're not looking for as many rushing touchdowns potentially from Caleb Williams, but I'm expecting a lot more touchdowns in Chicago than we have seen in recent years. And again, that's where you look at that full offense that he's got, the complement that he's got around him. That's where he can get you the fantasy points, I believe.
By the way, one additional nugget on Jaden Daniels before we move on. Don't forget who's calling the plays now in Washington. We talked about this on Bet Live the other day.
Yep.
Cliff Kingsbury, and who ran the fastest offense in the NFL when he was in Arizona with Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury. And by the way, that went really well for a while. Till that last year, that offense was humming, scored a lot, really fast, a lot of plays. That just adds plays to the plate for Jaden Daniels, rushing opportunities, pass attempts, and that's just going to add to his fantasy stock. Good support, decent supporting cast, too,
it really
by the way,
is.
In Washington.
I understand we're talking about Austin Ekeler as though he's kind of fallen off from last year to this year, but if you tell me that a rookie quarterback can have a guy, a veteran mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. in his backfield, that's a huge, huge blessing as well with those wide receivers. Mike, these other three quarterbacks... I don't believe, at least for me, they didn't crack the top 20. So they're not guys that we're looking at drafting this year, probably more, you know, dynasty guys or guys for the future. I just want to ask, is there one of these guys or is there anything you want to talk about with the other three before we move on to look at a different position?
I have them ranked 23rd, 24th, and 31st. Bo Nix, the lowest. May can run the ball, Drake May, but doesn't have a very good supporting cast there in New England right now. They did throw some darts at some rookies, but nothing to get excited about short term. I think it's going to be a work in progress. McCarthy, I love the scheme. I like what Kevin O'Connell did last year. Again, I mentioned this on EBL.
Yep.
The Vikings, without Kirk Cousins, were mid-pack in QBR last year. And now they get J.J. McCarthy, who theoretically should be better than Josh Dobbs and the other guys they had under center. So I like that for them long-term, but he's very young. Didn't have to throw a lot at Michigan. I think it's going to take a little time. So, no, it's Daniels. It's Caleb Williams and Daniels. I'd consider those guys. The other guys I'm probably avoiding.
And we feel better about Justin Jefferson once again.
Yeah, definitely moved him up a little bit in the... He caught up to Amon-Ra St. Brown a little bit.
I was going to say, yes.
It actually became a conversation again, whereas pre-draft it was clearly Amon-Ra. I felt Jordan Addison a little...
Move up a little bit.
Yeah, so...
That feels nice. Yeah. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. All right, let's talk about some other wide receivers, Stefania, because Marvin Harrison Jr., guy that we have been talking about, basically like what, the best wide receiver coming in the draft since maybe Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. We've heard a number of really big names, and this Arizona Cardinals offense needs it. They lost Hollywood Brown. They lost Rondale Moore. Right now, their number one wide receiver coming into the draft was Michael Wilson, who was a third rounder from last year. So given all of that, it feels like, and I should say, Trey McBride, who was an awesome tight end, not a wide receiver, but he had a huge
pass
target
catcher.
Share last year.
Mm-hmm.
Good pass catcher. When you look at Marvin Harrison Jr., though, with all of the targets that should be available in this offense in his rookie season, Mike, how high does he go?
I don't think you could go... too high. I mean, look, we're not going to put him up there with Ja'Marr Chase and those guys yet, but could he finish there? Yeah, I mean, we've seen guys have outstanding rookie seasons at the wide receiver position. These high pedigree receivers perform. 8 receivers picked in the top 10 in the last decade who didn't get hurt, who played a lot, 12 plus games played. Of those 8, all 8 were top 31 in fantasy points as a rookie. They combined for a 24% target share. So we fully expect Harrison to step right in as the number one perimeter receiver in this offense. He should have about a quarter of the targets, maybe more, go his way. And he should push for 80, 90 if he's healthy, maybe 100 catches during his rookie season. So wow. I'm all in on Marvin Harrison. He is my number 16 ranked wide receiver. I'm in. I mean, look, history tells us a story here with these early first-round receivers. They produce in fantasy immediately, and I expect Harrison to do the same.
You know, it's. I'll share with you. You guys know that I prep for the draft, the combine, and I'm always looking from the medical angle, obviously. And this combine was interesting because we had a couple people who chose not to participate. Marvin Harrison Jr., really not at all. Caleb Williams did not participate in the medicals. And so some people are wondering, like, why are they not doing this? And they talked about training for football season. Mm-hmm. Both Caleb and Marvin Harrison Jr. did. Why does that matter? Because when you're training for the combine, what often happens, what we see a lot, is that these players go and they train at a facility that is trying to get them to peak for combine performance. And then they come to camp and they really haven't been doing any football for a long time. Because if you think about when college football ended, they have not been participating in football at all. So they get into OTAs, maybe do a little bit, but they get to training camp or somewhere in that range. And they start ending up with all these soft tissue injuries. I'll never forget seeing, and it was Arizona, in fact, where, and I can't remember who the wide receiver was now off the top of my head, but I remember that he pulled a hamstring right when they started doing football work. And the thought from the coach immediately was, probably related to the fact that they haven't been doing football activity and they've been training for combine stuff. We see it all the time. Marvin Harrison Jr. has talked about trying. He wants to peak when it's time for football. I love this. I think this actually gives him a better chance of being able to be healthy all year. Obviously, you can't fully predict it, but that's the kind of thing that can just be a little difference maker in terms of how they're able to hit the ground running when they're transitioning from college to the NFL, because that is a big athletic leap for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike. I can't wait to see what his ADP is, because I want him. I want to scoop him up as much as I can. And remember, Arizona, they had 2+ offensive touchdowns in every game Kyler played last year. They were delivering offensively. Some of that was due to garbage time, but Kyler is a good quarterback.
And just imagine giving him Harrison is 1 year removed, further removed from his injury. He's going to be amazing this year, I think.
If you did not watch college football, Mike, we know that Marvin Harrison, who is his dad, was like 5'11", 185 pounds. Marvin Harrison Jr. is not like that. Can you tell me the differences between him and his dad?
Well, he's 6'3", 209.
Okay.
So it's slightly larger.
Slightly larger. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's bigger. Yeah, just a touchdown machine at the college level. He could do it all. I mean, there's a reason that Arizona, I mean, I think they listened to trade offers, but they didn't seem like they were really going to. Like, there was just noise. They weren't really going to accept anything. They were fully prepared to get this guy on their team. So, yeah, I can't wait. He just you hate to say this in fantasy because, look, half of the first-round picks aren't going to pan out. Harrison Jr. feels safe.
He was already next level in college. Yep. Like, he was ready to transition even a year ago.
I want to know if he's going to be in Madden, though.
That's know, right? It is a concern.
He's the only one that hasn't signed yet, so he might be Matt Harrington Jr.
Matt Harrington Jr. in the Cardinals. I love that. Producer, I can't wait to play with Matt Harrington Jr. All right. Let's talk about the next wide receiver that came off the board. I am so stinking glad. It has felt like malpractice to give Daniel Jones so much money and not give him any wide receivers and then be like, well, you know what? You're not good at playing quarterback. Now he finally gets a guy.
Sounds like somebody who has Daniel Jones on a dynasty roster.
I do have Daniel Jones on a dynasty roster.
Traded Travis Etienne for him last year.
And then they gave away his best pass catcher and his running back, right?
I know.
There was nobody left.
Finally, he has somebody. Last year, they did not have a single wide receiver, a single pass catcher that had 750 receiving yards. They did not have a single pass catcher that had at least 5 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They did not have a single pass catcher that had even 65 receptions. They were devoid of talent. It felt like across the board, in part because of injuries that happen all the time, and they're just not deep at that position. Enter Malik Nabers, who is a superstar waiting to happen. Mike, my question is, if Marvin Harrison Jr. was top 20, almost top 15, how high can Malik Nabers be and how is his situation different?
Yeah, slight step down. I don't think the situation is quite as good, but the target share should rival Marvin Harrison. Remember, if Marvin Harrison, let's just forget he exists for a second. If Nabers went 6th overall, all the stats I just said about Harrison apply, right? You should see a huge target share, be heavily involved, be highly productive in fantasy. Also, keep in mind, Darren Waller has not decided on his future. He may not play next season. He may retire in the coming weeks. We'll see. But either way, Nabers is going to be featured, should push for about a quarter of the targets. The quarterback situation, we don't really know on Daniel Jones. The Giants are dead last in passing touchdowns over the last 4 seasons. Ever since his rookie year, they're dead last in that category. So some concerns here. Colder weather, of course, later in the season. But I think Nabers is set up really well regardless. 26 on my board. A few spots lower, 10 spots lower than Marvin Harrison, but like him a lot. With how deep wide receiver is, being 26 is it's not disrespectful. Let's put it that way.
The gap in the tier between those two feels like you're right there next to each other. Still.
Honestly, once you get late into the wide receiver one conversation, it's already like you get to I keep wanting to say Dez Bryant. Why do I keep doing that?
Because I said it earlier in the show. Is that my fault?
When I'm talking about Seattle's wide receivers, right?
DK Metcalf.
For some reason, my brain keeps going Dez Bryant.
That's
I did that the other day, too.
You did.
I don't know why. But anyway, once you get to that vicinity, it's like the next 35 receivers are almost the same.
Yes.
It's so hard to distinguish in that area.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's look at the next wide receiver that came off the board. Rome Odunze-Stefania going to be catching passes from Caleb Williams. 6'3", 212, ran a 4.45. Mike, my big question is, Rome Odunze to me feels like a guy whose dynasty value might be slightly higher than his redraft value just because he comes into such a crowded wide receiving core. How do you look at him in a redraft league?
Agreed. That worries me just from a volume perspective short term. Again, the stats apply that I just said to Harrison and Neighbors.
This dude
however,
is legit, too.
Yeah. Those guys are not competing with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, two of the best receivers in the NFL over the past 5 years or so. That's going to make it tough. They do have a lot of mouths to feed suddenly in Chicago. And look, Caleb Williams is a great prospect. He's not yet a great player. He's very young. We don't know. We don't know if he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I hope he is.
Yep.
But we don't know that for sure. And even if he turns out to be a superstar, he might have some growing pains as a rookie. Probably will. So Odunze, look, if he's a certified star from day one, they'll find ways to get him the football. But is it going to be enough to be a wide receiver one or two like Harrison and potentially Neighbors? I don't know because, look, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore are going to demand targets. So I agree with you. I think it's a tougher play for him in year one. But long term, he's still a top 10 pick, a receiver. He's an outstanding dynasty prospect. It's just going to take a little while.
Yeah.
Also, you know, track athlete. State titles as a track athlete and so many go routes that he ran while at Washington. So I think that he could be a big play guy this year. Like we could see some really, you're going to have some highlight reels of Caleb Williams or Rome Odunze, but I agree in your redraft league, like you can't count on him for consistent production.
How about the Bears calling their shot, having them both come in on the visit at the same time, go out to dinner with each other. It's just, I mean, that really lined up nicely for the Bears
sure
from
did.
That perspective. All right, let's move ahead. Talk about the next wide receiver. This guy is a little polarizing. The top three wide receivers are clear, and we talked about this coming into the draft process. They were the clear top three at the draft. There's still a lot of good wide receivers left in this draft, and Brian Thomas Jr., one of the guys that lit up the combine, Mike, talk to me about what he can be potentially in this Jaguars offense.
Yeah, by the way, from short term, for 2024, I feel like there's a tier of two. I would put Odunze kind of down in this tier, but I agree just from an overall talent dynasty perspective, it's the big three. So I'm with you there. Brian Thomas. We're talking about a perimeter receiver. He's going to file in. They're going to probably try to utilize him similar to Calvin Ridley. Remember, they did bring in Gabe Davis as well. So two new receivers. Zay Jones suddenly fourth on that depth chart. I don't know if he ends up on the roster.
And thinking that they're similar-ish players, tell me why Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr. aren't big guys that just run fast down the field.
Well, he's a big guy who runs fast on the field. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Is that a bad thing?
No, not at all. I hope that he has a more more dynamic, wider route tree, so they get him the ball in his hands. They don't use him like Gabe Davis. But honestly, it does bump Gabe Davis down to more of that vertical role that we saw him play in Buffalo, because Thomas, again, he's a first-round pick. They should be trying to utilize him right away, and Christian Kirk's there, and Evan Ingram, who had over 100 catches last year, is there. Travis Etienne out of the backfield. It's kind of funny. We talk about all these names in this offense. Some pretty good players even last year.
Yeah.
They were 26th in EPA last year. I mean, offensively. So, the fifth-year option in Trevor Lawrence was just picked up earlier today. How good is Trevor Lawrence? Is he average? Is he above average?
I was just going to say, they have now officially given Trevor Lawrence like all this surrounding cast. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be kind of a prove it season, don't you think?
It's a big one.
I agree with you. I wonder, Stefania, like, wasn't last year like sort of the same thing? It wasn't as much of a prove it season, but they gave him a very good supporting cast last year. So now this year it's like, all right, if 2 years in a row we feel like we don't see what we're expecting out of you, Jaguars are going to have some decisions to make.
Yeah, I mean, they picked up the option, so he'll be around a couple of years. Yeah. But it's kind of a year to kind of figure out just how good he really is. He has to take a step forward. He didn't take the step forward last year that we hoped to see.
He was banged up quite a bit last year, which, didn't help him at all.
There
was
a competitor.
The Calvin Ridley experiment, which I was really high on going into last year, but didn't feel like that was really ever in sync in the way that we hoped it would be. I'm curious. Zay Jones is like Mr. Reliable there. They do love him in Jacksonville, even though I know he's not
been going to play now.
There might still be a spot for him. We shall see.
If that's true, then you're staying away from Thomas in redraft.
But that to me is the question mark.
Yeah.
Will be Gabe Thomas and
Gabe Davis.
I'm merging them
Brian
together.
Thomas, because they're so similar.
Stefania. Well, listen, they're like one person.
We're going
to find
out.
But I think it is really interesting because they've made a point. I've been down to their camps. They love Zay Jones. Like, there's something about his reliability and consistency for them that makes it hard for me to imagine him being totally the odd man out.
That's four deep, though. I tweeted this yesterday. I want Zay Jones on
in Detroit.
I think that'd be a great fit.
Well, I'm not saying that can't happen. Yeah, but
I just don't know.
They would find a good spot for him.
Kirk's going to be in the slot. You're going to have Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas in the perimeter. Zay Jones is not going to be thrilled about being the four, just worked in or rotated in. I think he's 30 years old. He's going to want to play somewhere. So would not be surprised if they find a new home for him. He might want a new home, and he probably deserves it.
You heard it here first. Mike said Detroit. Zay Jones is going to the Detroit Lions.
I love it.
Let's go.
I want a
late round flyer, by the way.
Yeah.
Is Thomas.
Mike. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas. Would you put Brian Thomas, because of his situation, ahead of Roma Dunze?
I have Odunze four spots ahead.
Okay.
So we're in the 40s. We're in the mid-40s. 45 for Odunze, 49 for Brian Thomas.
All right. Well, here's a guy that I think is going to be a very interesting conversation. Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Track speed, 4.21 40.
Broke a record, in case you're not aware.
Now playing with Patrick Mahomes, and let everyone's narratives just run wild. Mike, I have two questions.
Okay.
Where do you have this guy drafted?
53rd.
Okay. Ranked. Sorry, I meant ranked. You have met as wide receiver 53.
Sure do.
Is this the wide receiver whose hype train has the biggest chance of getting out of control this draft season?
Yes, and here's why. Let's think about the guy he's been compared to. What's the role he's going to play?
Tyreek Hill.
Okay. Tyreek Hill's rookie season, he had a 16% target share, had 61 catches for 593 yards and six touchdowns. Now, he did score three rushing and three return touchdowns and ended up as a top 20 receiver. But that receiving line is not super exciting. So, and you're not going to count on more of the A being Tyreek Hill, okay?
Right.
He's the best receiver maybe in the NFL and putting up six touchdowns away from catching the football. So he might do a little bit of that, but not a ton. So I've met 51 for 685 and six touchdowns. They're still going to use Hollywood Brown. We expect Rashee Rice to play most of the season. We'll see if there's a suspension there. You still have Travis Kelce. Guess what? Justin Watson, he's going to play. He's going to be on the field. Sky Moore, I don't know if he'll make the team. Kadarius Toney, they're talking about as their most talented receiver. He's going to get some gadget plays. Noah Gray is going to catch some touchdowns. Like, they're going to... Isaiah Pacheco is going to be used out of the backfield and run them. They have other mouths to feed here. Don't be surprised if it takes a little time for Worthy to get going, and he has a stat line similar to Tyreek as a rookie. So, yeah, I feel like he will be overhyped once ADP settles in.
I was just going to say, do you envision him having a special teams role maybe too early on? Because
with the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, to me,
that feels, and they've done this in Kansas City before, mm-hmm. and you kind of get your feet wet there, and that gives you a chance to showcase how you are. It'd be really interesting to see now with new kickoff returns what kind of playmaking opportunities there are for a player like Worthy.
I don't know if this is, I feel like it hasn't really been a topic, but you've seen the NFL react to that rule change immediately via free agency. All the returners started to get scooped up. Cordarrelle Patterson went to Pittsburgh, which was a surprise, because after the season he made some comments about Arthur Smith's offense that made you think,
why is he going
but then he goes to Pittsburgh to be probably, you know, their primary returner. And then in the draft, same thing. You saw return specialists going early, and that's, be careful of that when you're drafting guys in Dynasty or redraft. Just because the guy goes in the fourth round doesn't mean he's going to be a wide receiver. He might be a return specialist. And I'm with you, Worthy
that could
should be
a
out there
great,
in returns often this season for the Chiefs. That is now a position where teams are going to feel like they can make up yardage, they can score touchdowns from, not like last year. It's more important now
and
than
especially
ever.
Especially somebody who's speedy. Like, that's your one chance, because that's a great opportunity for that kind of breakaway.
That's a great call, Stefania. We actually, I mean, it's not just him, right? Hollywood Brown, too. You got two wide receivers on this offense that have 4.240 speed with Patrick Mahomes
like speed
throwing
there
in the
Kansas
football.
City? I mean, it's why they brought in Kadarius Toney. He just couldn't stay on the field.
You know what? I was in on all the things that the Chiefs said until they were like, Kadarius Toney is one of our best wide receivers.
Raw talent, though. They were talking raw talent, which is true, which is probably true.
Mike.
Raw athleticism.
Raw athleticism, yes. Okay, I'll give you that.
I know what they're talking about, but I think they're just trying to, look, we traded for this guy.
I'll tell you what.
Give him some hype.
If you tell me that in front of him, you've got Hollywood Brown, a guy you just drafted in Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce, and so now Kadarius Toney
is your fifth option.
No, I'm just saying for the Chiefs. If he's your fifth option, that is some talent that you've got in front of him. So I'm with you on that. All right, let's keep moving ahead. Mike, I mentioned this wide receiver in the last podcast that we did.
Is that right?
Xavier Leggett. Mm-hmm. Panthers trade back up into the first with the Bills in order to be able to grab someone for Bryce Young. In part because that wide receiver room, it was a little bit light last year. You had Adam Thielen, who looked fantastic, but he's a little bit older. long in the tooth, I think is what they say, Stefania. I'm not sure. And then on top of that, Jonathan Mingo, who's now coming into his second year. When you look at Xavier Legette, how do you view him fitting into this offense?
So I have a question for you. The fastest receiver at the combine was?
Xavier Worthy.
Correct. Who was the fastest wide receiver pound for pound at the NFL combine?
I'm going to guess Xavier Legette.
It was. He had the best speed score at wide receiver, believe
Love
it or not,
that.
Which is unreal because someone set the 40 record and Legette still had a higher speed score. He is 221 pounds, 6'1", 221. He ran a 4.39.
Yep.
That is an incredible speed score. This guy is big and fast. I really like this landing spot. You know, they have more mouths to feed now. Deontay Johnson, one of the most underrated players in the NFL. You still have Adam Thielen, who's going to be, you know, he's, what, 33 now. He'll still be involved. But Legette has an opportunity to play quite a bit in an offense that should be better. Bryce Young, remember, first overall pick last season. Year two is the big
That's the big year for quarterbacks.
That's when quarterbacks make the big leap. So we're going to learn a lot about Bryce Young this year, and Legette has a chance to play a lot in this offense. Now, again, they still have Deontay, and they have Thielen, and Jonathan Mingo was a day two pick last year. They have some mouths to feed, and we don't know for sure if Bryce Young is going to be good. So Legette is 57th on my board. So we're talking about, again, a late rounder here. You take a shot, put him on your bench, and see what he can do.
Man.
I really just don't even know. I the Panthers feel to me like one of the toughest teams to imagine how they're going to look, because obviously we don't know what's going to happen in the running back situation.
That's we'll talk about that later in the show.
But then, you know, Deontay Johnson, sort of when you think about his challenges at Pittsburgh versus his talent, like I don't know what I'm getting there. We don't know exactly what Bryce Young is yet.
Yep.
Need protection all around. We'll see how that looks for them when we get into training camp. I just... Panthers are very hard to project for me
in
my mind.
6'1", 225? That's a give or take 6'1", what is?
6'1", 223?
He
measured in 221. Yeah,
221.
6'1", 221.
Is that close? What is Cordero Patterson? Is Patterson around that? 6'3", 225? I feel like they're similar-esque type player where they're like just like bigger runners like that. I'm interested to see what Xavier Legette can do here because Bryce Young and the Panthers really need some help there. I think this next wide receiver is one of the more intriguing ones.
I'd say these next two landing spots, excellent.
Yes.
I'm excited for these next two.
Yep. Keon Coleman goes to the Bills.
Yes.
First pick of the
second
round.
I thought you were going to say goes viral.
He did go viral. Dude, I like him already.
Keon, I love it too.
Who doesn't? Everybody loves
him. His post-draft interviews with the Bills local media and everything. It was just
fantastic.
Go check it out. This is one of the things where it's like when you start to get a little bit of a kid's personality that you didn't know, right? And now you're just like, oh man, that guy's fun. I want to be a fan of him. I want to follow Keon Coleman. Mike.
Yeah, Jamal Williams vibes, right?
Yes, it was very much that. Obviously, we know that he's a bigger guy. The big knock on him coming out of the combine was that he just ran slow.
Yeah, 4.61.
So what is it that you like about him here in this Bills offense, knowing that there are a lot of targets that have been vacated?
Well, that's it. I mean, his collegiate efficiency also is not very good, but he's big, he's strong, he's young, and the landing spot is outstanding. Who's the number one receiver? Who will lead the Bills in targets this season? He is on the short list
of
candidates.
Dalton Kincaid, maybe?
Kincaid or Curtis Samuel. It could be Curtis Samuel if they design a lot of short-range targets, but Coleman should be the target for Josh Allen. Now, look, they did adjust their offense when Joe Brady took over last season. They actually leaned pretty heavily toward the run. Prior to that, they had been very pass-heavy. They were still scoring at will compared to the Ken Dorsey era. I expect them to kind of meet in the middle this year and be more of a balanced offense. So maybe not the high volume offense of the past, but you still have Josh Allen and you still have a wide open depth chart. So there's a lot of reasons to think that Keon Coleman could have a big rookie season. He is 47th on my board. So I have him ahead just behind Odunze, but ahead of Thomas, ahead of Worthy, ahead of Lickett.
Wow.
The opportunity is there.
Yeah.
Like if you're a wide receiver and that's your landing spot, how happy are you? Right? Because you have an opportunity to lay claim for yourself to be the clear number one.
Yeah. And remember, he was the 33rd pick. So we're not talking like almost third round. We're talking almost first round.
Right.
He has that talent. He easily could have went in the first round.
You know his cousin is C.D. Lamb?
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
All right,
move him up.
I was just going to 37. He goes even higher.
I love it.
Just saying, you know.
I love it. Well, it's not just him. I do like him as well. And I'm interested to see, again, how that hype train goes. Because when you have, like, the number one pass catcher in a Josh Allen offense, another rookie that I think is going to get a lot of hype this offseason. What about Ladd McConkey? Like, we were waiting for a wide receiver to feel like they were going to come into this Chargers offense and kind of be like, all right, that guy is going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Johnston didn't really do that a whole lot last year. We're waiting for Josh Palmer, and we see Palmer at times. He will have these games when both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams miss time, But then when they were both out at the same time, we never saw him put it together and really realize that for himself when he had that own role, his own role to his own. His own role to himself, excuse me. So understanding that, you still got two guys that are there. How do you look at Ladd McConkey in this new Harbaugh-led offense?
Yeah, so McConkey, by the way, again, almost the first round pick, goes one pick after Keon Coleman, and I actually have him ranked one spot ahead of Keon Coleman in my rankings for this season at 46. I could have actually went higher here. I think this is an exceptional fit. He should slide really into the Keenan Allen role, and I'm not saying he's as good as Keenan Allen, but into that role, the short to intermediate target for Justin Herbert. Look, yes, the Chargers have, they told us their plan. They got rid of Gerald Everett. They brought in blocker Will Disley. Yep. They instead of drafting Malik Nabers, he drafted Joe Alt with the fifth overall pick. They're investing in the running game. They're going to run the football as much as they can. It's very clear. However, you still have to throw it 30, 40 times. Yeah. And it depends on the game script.
When you have an arm like Justin Herbert.
And that's the next point. You're going to throw it that many times, and you have Justin Herbert. And who's he going to throw it to? Just imagine. Close your eyes and imagine Justin Herbert dropping back to pass. Who is open? Is Josh Palmer open? Maybe once in a while. Is Quentin Johnson open? Probably not. Is Will Disley? No, he's pass blocking.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards is in your backfield. He doesn't catch the football. Who's he throwing to?
It was me.
He's going to throw to Ladd McConkey. It was you?
When I closed my eyes, I saw him closing.
Well, it might be. They might need you to run next to McConkey and clear out some lanes for him this season. But he's going to be that short and intermediate target. He doesn't have to be that good.
No.
This offense doesn't have to be.
Just
soak up targets. Yeah. So, look, maybe he's not going to be a good football player and it's not going to work out, but I like him. He's coming off an injury-plagued season last year, but this guy was very productive when healthy at the college level, and this is an outstanding fit with a great quarterback. I'm pumped. I'll be pumped to watch him and in like the 4 p.m. Eastern slate, him and Marvin Harrison this year will be playing a lot, West Coast guys. You'll be watching the 49ers, but we'll be watching Ladd McConkey and Marvin Harrison.
I'm going to say shout out to Kit and Chip because this makes me think about their theme song for Mike. Yeah.
I'm back in.
Chargers
Let's go.
Off to a terrible start, but that won't change Mike's mind.
They'll win now because Jim Harbaugh's there. But
That's true. Also, I noticed, you didn't have a single one of Justin Herbert's wide receivers inside the top 45. And I realized, it's some younger guys. It's Quentin Johnson, who's in his second year. It's Ladd McConkey, who is a rookie. I think this is an interesting situation because we've watched Justin Herbert be a legitimate MVP here, and now it's like, all right, who's going to be the guy to step up? Because if we knew who that was, obviously they would probably be more than a top 45 guy for us.
Yeah, and I think maybe at some point we'll get to it, but Herbert's stock going down in this offense.
Yes,
if they're going to run the ball, that's going to take away a lot of his volume. But yeah, and by the way, I'm hedging a little on the receivers because we don't know for sure if McConkey's good. I mean, that's a pretty generous ranking considering the depth of the position. One of those guys probably will emerge. Maybe Josh Palmer finishes wide receiver 32 or something. But I think McConkey's most likely to be the best receiver from that group.
All right, we got one more wide receiver I'm going to ask you about. And it's a dude that fell. And I'm not sure why he fell, although I saw his new GM, Chris Ballard, defending him quite a bit. Adonai Mitchell fell all the way to pick 52 to the Colts. And here's the thing that's tough for me about this. I liked Adonai Mitchell. Big guy, fast, a lot of speed, coming out of Texas. My question is, they just re-signed Michael Pittman to a three-year deal, a lot of money, and they liked Josh Downs, who they drafted in the second round last year. How do you see him fitting in this offense with Anthony Richardson?
Well, I think he's, much like we talked about with Jacksonville and Zay Jones, this is an Alec Pierce replacement on the perimeter opposite Michael Pittman. I would imagine that's how they're going to utilize him. He is pretty young, so maybe they kind of bring him along slowly. I do have him ranked all the way down at 64, so we're talking late round flyer here. Like Gabe Davis comp, going back to Jacksonville again, very much like that. He's a great athlete. He's a perimeter receiver, good speed. He doesn't add a lot after the catch, very low rack at the college level. This is potentially a good long-term landing spot as a compliment to Michael Pittman, but I think short-term it might be kind of tricky for him to be a consistent producer. By the way, I did hear Chris Ballard already working on Mitchell with his second contract because they just and maybe his third because they re-sign everyone. That's the best place to go because you're getting a second contract. It doesn't really matter.
That's what it is.
They don't go outside the team. They just sign everyone in house. So, but seriously, I think long term it could work for him, especially if Anthony Richardson's the real deal. But short term, it's going to be very boom bust.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry. as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. All right, I'm going to quickly stick with Anthony Richardson because I fumbled earlier in the show. I was supposed to do trending up and trending down for quarterbacks. So let's do that really quickly. Then we're going to talk about trending up and trending down for wide receivers.
Okay, well, that's quick for quarterback.
Because it is pretty fast. Is there a quarterback that you felt had their value potentially improve coming out of the draft?
Improve. I mean, I would just say
or
someone that saves. Yeah, Will Levis is the big one because they didn't they didn't draft a quarterback. So Will Levis is still the draft an early quarterback. So Will Levis is still the starter in Tennessee. And remember, they have DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep,
they have Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley. That's all right. He's on Baltimore now. We know what you meant. Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Treylon Burks takes a step. Chigo Conquo.
I just like to test Mike, see if he's paying attention.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Don't do that, Mike.
There's too many numbers like and names up here. Yeah, fried.
I think you're right. It doesn't really elevate him, but it doesn't hurt his stock by the idea that at least gives him another opportunity.
By rookie quarterback standards, Will Levis was excellent. It's just hard to put up good production as a rookie. So if he takes a leap forward, maybe we're sleeping on him. Maybe he does make a leap and this Tennessee offense is good. So again, late round flyer, but at least his value stays the same or slightly better.
I know that we added a wide receiver in Ladd McConkey to this Chargers receiving corps, but do you think that they did enough to be able to help Justin Herbert? Or is he your biggest quarterback downgrade coming out of the draft?
No, he's been trending down since the start of the offseason as they change coaches and change schemes. And look, maybe the team is better, but Herbert has lived on these extremely pass-heavy offenses, tons of volume. At times, the Chargers were trailing. He had to throw it a lot.
There was a lot of garbage time in there.
Yeah, on a per-game basis, his pass attempts will probably be a career low. So definitely some concerns there with volume. And we talked about all them good borderline QB1, so definitely some concerns for Herbert. I think he might be a fringe QB1 at best.
All right, let's keep up with the trending up and down.
That is crazy.
Tough, right?
Trending the wrong way.
Yeah.
We had a lot of offseason talk about it. We talk about how deep the quarterback position is, man. It just
might be a one-year thing, but as they set up this new scheme with Roman out there and Harbaugh, I think he's going to underwhelm in fantasy.
All right. Keeping moving with the trending up and trending down. We just finished wide receivers, Mike. I have one wide receiver winner for me coming out of this draft, and I got to mention it.
Just one?
I got a couple of them, but here's the problem. When you list eight of them before the rest of us have a chance to get to the show note, you list all of them. You know what I mean?
I know
some of stay up and grind.
So okay. I'm going to say this. I was watching UFL while this was going on.
I know who you're going
to
say.
I have to say Jameson Williams.
Oh, shocking.
My dude, J-Mo. You want to know why? Because the Detroit Lions did not add a wide receiver in this draft. Right now, it looks like he is going to be the number two wide receiver, especially with Josh Reynolds leaving this team. Because of that, Jameson Williams is in a spot where I think he's going to get some serious targets. There is definitely concern. This is not just like he comes in and all of a sudden he's going to be a top 35 wide receiver. But if he ever realizes the potential that he was drafted with as a early first rounder, he has the ability, I think, to be a really good wide receiver. His ceiling is still super high. I think he's one of the bigger winners. And shout out to my dude, Andrew, over at Airtime, because I have this amazing Jameson Williams downtown that I just really quickly want to show you guys. That's just so pretty. If for the audio listeners, you can head on over to YouTube. Make sure you're watching us through the offseason on the ESPN YouTube. But shout out to Andrew at Airtime, because these levitating things are so cool when I'm able to throw a card up there. I think J-Mo's in a really good spot. Pumped to see what he can do this year in an awesome offense in Detroit.
Also, your guy Dan Campbell put lots of effusive praise for Jameson Williams and talking about him getting to that next level and that they've seen good things from him and they sort of expect him to take the next step.
Yep, I'm ready
for
it.
Your guy doesn't mince words.
No, he doesn't.
He is very authentic when he talks. And we know that when Dan Campbell speaks, he's pretty straightforward.
Absolutely.
So I believe that.
Yep, Mike. I'm with you. He's on my list. I have him ranked 56 right now. So I have a couple other veteran winners here too, all outside my top 50. But these are guys that are kind of solidified as late flyers at wide receiver. Darnell Mooney in Atlanta. They did not add another wide receiver like him a lot. Remember, he was a highly targeted player in Chicago. He has an opportunity to be the guy opposite Drake London. You mentioned Jameson Williams. Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer, actually winners because all they added was Ladd McConkey. He's still, they're kind of solidified in a big role in this offense. Rashid Shaheed is a really good one here. Yeah. They do not have a clear number two receiver. Michael Thomas is gone. It's Chris Olave.
Yep.
And then it could be Shaheed. He should get his opportunity this year. And then Rashad Bateman, fourth round pick was spent on wide receiver by Baltimore. They bring in the rookie Walker, but it should still be Bateman getting his opportunity to be the two. Remember, they just gave him a multi-year extension. Yeah. So he's going to get a shot.
Confidence is
just when I was out. I thought I was out. They pulled me back in.
I like him if he could just stay healthy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're gambling on, right?
Yeah. By the way, a couple downgrades here.
Yeah,
we did have a couple downgrades. I don't want to hear yours.
Yeah, I think
I don't want to hear your downgrades. Well, I know where you're going.
Your 49ers.
Let me just say this. I'm gonna preempt you because I don't want to hear the negativity. Just for 49ers fans listening, this is a good problem to have.
Yes, it is. Right? That was what I was going to say.
It's a good NFL problem. Yeah. For fantasy purposes, okay, you may speak.
Yeah, there was a wide receiver we did not mention who was picked in the first round earlier, Ricky Pearsall. Uh-huh. The reason we didn't mention him is because it's a good problem.
Right, yes.
So many mouths to feed in San Francisco. Pearsall is kind of a developmental player there. He'll be good depth.
He fits their profile of what they like in a wide receiver.
He's a 2025 breakout candidate, top of the list right now. Brandon Ayuk will probably be there. Maybe Deebo Samuel's not in 2025. But for now, they are. Don't forget Juwan Jennings, who's awesome. You know, he's a terrific three. He'll play George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. So a lot of mouths to feed. But Ayuk and Samuel, with them adding a receiver, I think it knocks them down just a few positions. And then DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Again, I don't know how they're going to live up to their production last year. Moore in Chicago, Allen in with the Chargers. Again, you spent a top 10 pick on a wide receiver. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of mouths to feed with the rookie quarterback, so they had to be moved down the rankings as well. So Ayuk, Samuel, Moore, I have them all in the 17 to 20 range. Keenan Allen, way down to 31. I'm worried about this.
The only thing I would say...
It's low, but I
hear you, and I agree with you on paper. But what's going to happen is, this happens every year, somebody gets hurt.
Yes.
Somebody goes down. And then what's going to happen is somebody's going to elevate and have a much bigger role. So some of these teams that have this nice depth at the position where we're like, hey, this guy could be a star. This guy could eat up targets. This guy could. There might be a situation where one of them elevates just out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And so I would keep an eye on that. These are the things we watch from the spring through the summer, especially going through training camp. Keenan Allen, who's been durable for most of his career, has had a couple of health issues lately, but he could still be a big volume guy and kind of I love him with Caleb as far as kind of mentoring him into quarterbacking. But we'll see. These guys who are speed guys always at risk for a hamstring injury.
Yep.
And maybe that helps sort it out in a couple of these, you know, big wide receiver groups.
Yeah. And what you just laid out is kind of the difference between, I get asked this question all the time, what's the difference between your projections, like the most likely outcome, and rankings?
Yep.
And it's that ceiling, right? If it takes just one person getting hurt, and the injury rate in the NFL is so high, if Keenan Allen gets hurt, what does that mean for Romo Odunze? Or if Odunze gets hurt, what does it mean for Keenan Allen? Being aware of that upside is important when you're drafting, especially when your starting lineup's filled out and you're looking at backups.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's move ahead and talk about some running backs here real quick. Running back not nearly as deep in this draft. Mm-mm. This will not take quite as long as the wide receiver conversation, although this number one guy is the running back in this class. Jonathan Brooks goes to the Panthers, who already had a couple of running backs.
Yeah,
second round.
They
did not have one like this.
Not one like this.
Well, Stefania, let me ask you what this running back looks like, because I know one of the big concerns, obviously coming off the major injury in college. What can you tell me about Jonathan Brooks should know going into
draft season? This is why I came into the pod today. I wasn't going to come, but I was like, I need to get Stefania's thoughts on Jonathan Brooks because I need to know where to rank him and how optimistic to be this year, because he tore his ACL in November.
Right, and we're talking about the guy who replaced Bijan Robinson when he left Texas and looks a little bit like Bijan Robinson in that he can be a playmaker. He's not just a running back. This is what they are doing at Texas right now, and they are calling themselves playmakers. Unfortunately for him, Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL in November of 2023, and that cut his season at Texas short. When he was at the combine, he had just begun running. That was the last week of February. He said he expected to be cleared by training camp. Now, I think people hear that and they're like, okay, training camp. That means we get all of Jonathan Brooks at training camp. Well,
that's what I'm thinking right now. So.
Again, you know, like brake pumping here. Okay. And it always depends on where they are, you know, how they're evaluating and what they see. But the temptation might be there. The smart thing is to gradually acclimate him to football activity. Now, that hopefully is what they have in mind, is that we're going to work him into football activity gradually, because you're talking about transitioning from college to pro, even though they run relatively sophisticated offense for a running back and what he's expected to do at Texas. But he's still got to acclimate to playing against the big bodies of the NFL, and he's coming off an ACL injury. So I would expect that you are going to get a little bit of the Breece Hall effect. You know, somebody who tears their ACL, comes in, starts working. If there are no bumps in the road, then you expect that workload to pick up steadily, and you really aim for the back half of the season. The only thing I would say, I always go back to, because I think it's just such a classic example, is Dalvin Cook, who looked so good coming off an ACL reconstruction, and they got very excited at the Vikings, and he handled a high volume of work very quickly and ended up with a hamstring injury that compromised him the rest of the year. That is the one of the most common secondary injuries following ACL is a hamstring injury. So the temptation is to let him go. That was an all gas, no brakes situation.
Yeah. They needed to pump the brakes.
Right, and that's, I'm a little concerned about that in Carolina, because you look at the running back situation, they could get, he's very enticing. And if he looks good and looks pretty explosive, you might want to start featuring him more and more. And they just, you know, this is an investment for the long term, at least long term, as far as rookie contracts go. So you don't want to burn it up too much and risk a setback early on.
All right. So I came in pretty optimistic. RB19, I do anticipate a slow start. They have Chuba Hubbard. They currently have Miles Sanders. Currently, that's an interesting one. Yeah. They did talk. Dan Morgan, their GM, did say some positive things about Miles Sanders. Of course, you say that about a player on your roster. I know he has a tough contract, but we've seen guys in that situation get cut loose. And
didn't Dan say, I love Dan Morgan. Great football player. Awesome. Yeah. Well, of course. But didn't he say, like, we envision a big role for him? Yes. Was that the word? And I was like, but wait a second. We said that last year, and then he lost out his starting role. Michael Carter
was the heartbeat of the Jets backfield. Like, yes, we've heard this stuff before. You have to say that about players on your roster. I get it. And again, his contract makes it
$10.4 million in dead cap this year, $2.9 million in dead cap next year. Yes. So it sounds like he's probably at least with the team for the season.
He may, Well, I mean, we'll see. The guys get disgruntled and they just eat the cost. It happens. Yeah. But I mean, look, he's probably their third best running back is Miles Sanders. Not a guy I'm too concerned in fantasy. Even if Brooks starts on PUP or just doesn't play much early in the season, you have Chuba Hubbard, who clearly outplayed Miles Sanders last season. But I came in with Brooks at RB19. I think even if he has a slow September, at some point this guy is going to take control of this Panthers backfield and be the guy, and there's going to be a lot to like from a fantasy perspective. Can do it all, by the way. Receiver, rusher. I do expect this offense to be better than it was last season, so a lot to like here.
All right, Mike, it feels like there is a big drop from Jonathan Brooks to Trey Benson. If Brooks comes in as running back 19, you said, where does your next running 18 or 19? Where does your next rookie running back check in?
Yeah, and actually, we're going to talk about four guys. They're all in the 45 to 58 range. Very interesting insurance running backs.
Okay.
These are guys we're going to look at late in your draft as backups who, if the starter gets hurt, you're going to like them a lot. Do you want to just run through them?
Yeah, give me your favorite one. We don't need one order.
Let's go. Trey Benson. I have a 45. He is James Conner's backup, and he's probably the most likely running back in the league to miss time. That's just been
James Conner you're talking about.
He's been so good when he's played, but he often misses time. He's also in the last year of his deal, so Benson probably their lead back in 2025.
Okay,
good for dynasty. Dynasty note there. But this year he'll start slow. He'll be the backup. He'll be worked in. He'll get some run. Michael Carter maybe gets a couple targets in that backfield as well. But Conner will still be the lead back. But if he misses time, we're going to be running to the waiver wire to pick up Trey Benson. So he'll be a fine bench hold.
Okay. Love that. I didn't love the idea that it felt like the Rams maybe hurt Kyren Williams' value with Blake Corum. Is that true? Or does it not impact Kyren Williams getting the addition of, hey, you know what? They just need a depth behind him, to be honest.
They said they were going to give him help this offseason, so I'm not shocked by this at all. I think it's going to take away some volume from Kyren Williams. At the same time,
That's not what they do. They can't help themselves. You know, I feel like the Rams are always like, Sean McVay's always like, I'm going to get this guy help. And then they just can't take him off the field. And exhibit A is Kyren Williams, I believe, was on the field for every offensive snap at some point last year. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, like we really need to do better.
They tried, but they didn't have anyone. They couldn't.
So I think they want to get him help, but also their tendency in games has always been to favor one.
And also, you know this. I'm not a big, don't tell anyone, not a big Blake Corum fan.
I know you're not.
I love the efficiency numbers are a big driver for me. They've been a good recipe for success, like evaluating running backs for me in the past, and he doesn't show up very well. So not a big fan. I think that makes me feel a little bit more optimistic about Kyren Williams. I did take away some touches from him in the projections, but still a mid-range RB1.
All right, so I was bummed for Kyren Williams that Blake Corum went there, although you're trying to talk me down. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I was bummed for Marshawn Lloyd. They got drafted by the Packers to sit behind Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I love Marshawn Lloyd. He had the best efficiency profile in this draft class. Maybe down the road that works out for him and he gets an opportunity to be the guy, but right now he'll start out competing with A.J. Dillon for the two job. They paid Josh Jacobs. He is the feature back. There's no doubt. Lloyd will be, you know, the complimentary guy. We'll see him here or there. But
probably more than A.J. Dillon. Is that fair? You'll see Lloyd more than...
I would hope so. I mean, I think that Lloyd's a better prospect, I think. But he's a dynasty guy. He's an end-to-bench hold. But again, he might not start the season even as the two.
Okay.
If A.J. Dillon wins that job short term. So he's a down-the-road guy.
It's interesting because I thought the Packers paid a lot of money for Josh Jacobs, who has a lot of tread on the tires and has had some injury issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was really surprised that we said goodbye to Aaron Jones in Green Bay after all the talk about him and how important he was to the team. And it sounds like it was a difficult move. I mean, they've certainly, Matt LaFleur has talked about it. But I think... I'm not convinced that Josh Jacobs can handle that Green Bay workload in those conditions of Green Bay. Remember, he's not played for a team that plays all the time in the cold and the snow.
And
so
that's
be
fair.
A challenge.
And maybe Lloyd gets, it feels like a little like Zach Charbonnet last year, you know, like he's just, maybe he gets 10 touches a game, but even that's probably pushing it. And even if he does, you're not starting him in fantasy, you know,
also,
so it's an insurance running back.
This nomenclature feels a little sus to me, Stefania, because
sus.
You said there's a lot of tread on the tires, but isn't it the opposite? There's not as much.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of wear.
On those tires.
That, you know.
Because it's a lack of tread. But we always say tread on the tires, right?
No, but
yeah, we do.
But
there's not a lot of tread on the tires.
Yeah, but we should be saying not
it's
a lot of tread
opposite,
on the tires.
It's the opposite, yeah.
Thank you for pointing out my second big mistake of the podcast.
Well, so please.
Clearly, this is what happens when we're only together once a week.
That's right.
Forget how to speak properly.
I'm excited that I get to see you guys more often now that the draft is over. All right, we got one more running back we're going to talk about here.
Yes, this is an interesting one.
I know that the Dolphins have a really good running back in Devon Achane. They also have a guy that they liked in Raheem Mostert,
sure
but Mostert is getting up there in age. Mm-hmm. He's closer to you and I's age,
yeah.
Mike, honestly.
For a running back, he's like 100 years old.
Don't forget he didn't play a lot the first few years.
You're right. But then the Dolphins went out and grabbed a guy named Jalen Wright in the fourth round. Tell me about your expectations for this guy.
Yeah, fast and explosive. I mean, he was with Tennessee. Wasn't, yeah,
fast
of course.
And explosive.
Of course. 4'3", 840. How about that? At 210 pounds. Best broad jump here as well. They decided, look, it's a day three pick. Let's throw a flyer at some depth here. Maybe a long-term complement to Devon Achane in this backfield. He could catch the ball, three down back.
Caleb Ballage comp then.
No. He was, let's not. Okay. Let's,
stop.
I'm sorry. I would
so
not
sorry.
Be this optimistic. We just removed him from the ESPN
from
player
the database.
Actually. So it was a big day for me. Not for Matthew, but big day for me.
Shout out to all the old listeners if you get that.
That's
right. That's a good call back there. But yeah, right. I'm optimistic about it. And you got to love the landing spot. Again, you just talked about this. One injury away from potentially being having a role in this. The offense that was most generous in the NFL to running backs last season. So late
round
flyer, absolutely.
That's a real thing. Miami has dealt with this, right? Devon Achane had an injury last year and then came back and then was back out. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a little bit slight of build, and as many running backs are.
Mm-hmm.
And what they get, you know, that's often the trade-off, right? You get quick, explosive. You can run in that Mike McDaniel offense, but the trade-off might be size and durability. So I think they're being smart. Again, it's a football. Makes football sense for the Miami Dolphins to have this trio of running backs. It doesn't necessarily help us in fantasy.
In fantasy, necessarily, yeah. Mike, obviously we look at a lot of running backs to be depth guys as they get drafted throughout the second and third day, especially. Mm-hmm. How did that impact potential veterans that were already on teams, guys who are now trending up or trending down based on what happened in the draft?
Yeah, a couple winners here and downgrades, we'll call them. Starting with the winners, Zamir White, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, very notable winners. Those teams did not address the running back position with early picks, so they are all ticketed to start in week one as of now. I could throw Chase Brown on that list along with Zach Moss as well in Cincinnati. That should be their backfield. I love Devin Singletary. So reliable. How about Zeke Elliott? He's back with Dallas. We talked about that.
Just a year too late. I have been saying, have I not been saying this all along? True. I was like, I don't know why they had to have that little, you know, temporary divorce, but he's back where he belongs. And I think value. You'll get value for him.
You throw Rico Dowdle on there too. He played probably more than you realized last season as a compliment to Tony Pollard. And if Zeke struggles like he did last year with the efficiency in New England or the year before in Dallas, maybe Dowdle does get an opportunity. And then J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards with the Chargers, we thought they were a team that might take a Blake Corum or a running back. They did not. So those two guys will be the running backs there for the Chargers.
Just J.K. Dobbins coming off an Achilles coming off an Achilles. So just, you know,
that's a late,
temper
late
those
flyer.
Expectations.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And then other side, trending down here.
We talked about
guys. Kyren Williams. Yeah. Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, of course, there in Carolina. Those ones are the pretty obvious ones.
The big obvious ones, yeah. All right, Mike. Obviously, even though we have Kyren Williams trending down, it's not like he's all of a sudden outside the top 10. It's just like, hey, man.
Plummets from like 4 to 6. Yes.
Right. Yes, exactly. All right, now it's time for the ones who get it done, brought to you by Grainger. Offering professional-grade products for all industries, fast delivery, and free technical support, call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Mike. Brock Bowers is heading to Las Vegas to get it done for the Raiders. What do you make of him in year one?
Yeah, I have him 13th in my tight end rankings. Tight end in the short term, like talking about 2024 ranks, maybe the deepest we've seen in a while. There's a lot of quality options in the mid to late range. So Bowers for me is more of a fringe tight end one, a good tight end two. Remember, again, we talked about this on Bet Live the other day as well. Top fantasy finishes by rookie tight ends over the last decade. Sam Laporta was number one last year, but don't get too caught up in that because the only other top 10s, Evan Engram 6th, Kyle Pitts 6th, no one else even in the top 10 at that position. So like Bowers long term, but short term, not the best situation. By the way,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's forget off the field for a second, and you'll know where I'm going with this in a second. Who is the least inspiring quarterback situation in the NFL?
The Raiders.
Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. You see why I said off the field. Like, we love Gardner Minshew.
I was going to say,
on field, I mean, they don't have an exciting young rookie. I mean, maybe O'Connell's legit and makes a big league, maybe, but it's hard to get excited about the passing situation.
Yeah.
Also, they had a pretty solid tight end already.
Michael Mayer.
Michael Mayer. And so now, to me, it just makes me feel like, are we going to see a lot of 12 personnel?
Absolutely.
Is that what's going to happen here? But what is it? Michael Mayer, I thought, had potential to sort of sneak up in terms of fantasy value. I thought that he was going to
be a good
outlet. Mm-hmm. And now, I feel like, you know, that kind of went sideways. And if you're him, you're probably like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I had a chance to really, you know, kind of make a splash this year. I thought that he would actually rise up and be somebody who'd be really valuable to these two quarterbacks that we don't have a ton of, you know, faith in them being rock stars.
I think this was the Raiders, like their board was, well, we're not getting Penix, sorry, no quarterbacks. Bo Nix just went to Denver. We have Bauer 6th on our board, let's just take the best guy on our board. They didn't care about the position, which isn't always the wrong thing, but from a fantasy perspective and really roster building, I mean, it's hard to get super excited about it.
Well, that to me, I was like, I didn't see that we had any trending downs for tight ends, but I was like, this has
Michael
to be.
Mayer is
Michael
the trending
Mayer
down.
Is the trending
That's
down.
It. Yeah. Yeah, we just kind of injected him into this. Yeah. Yes.
All right, Mike, here's my last question. I'm going to end the show with this. Scott Fishbowl is coming around sooner or later. Usually tight end premium when you do Scott Fishbowl. How do you look at a guy like Brock Bowers in a tight end premium league when you don't love his landing spot?
Just the same as same answer.
Okay, right? Everything is exactly the same.
I mean, if we're starting two tight ends, I like him as a starter. He's a mid-range. Yeah, he's going to be inconsistent. He's very young. They do have Mayer. They have Adams. They have Jacoby Myers. I mean, they don't really have a third receiver. I believe it would be Trey Tucker if the season started today. It was, again, one of them, like,
he
return
is their
specialists.
Third wide receiver, though, right?
Yeah, so he may be. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to get super excited about it in terms of ceiling, especially based on the history of the rookie tight end.
Sure. With the West Coast AOC under center, we're going to see how that
goes. Long term,
dynasty.
Long term, he should be great. I mean, his profile is elite. It's up there with your Kyle Pitts.
The real
Kyle
question,
Pitts sort of guy.
I was just going to say, is this the year that Kyle Pitts becomes?
Yes, better.
I hope so.
Is there any hope for those of us who have suffered?
If it doesn't, then we'll say
my dynasty league.
If it doesn't work out, we'll just blame Kirk Cousins and say, look, when the Penix era starts, that's Kyle Pitts.
When Penix starts, Kyle Pitts is still only going to be 24 years old.
Kyle Pitts is going to be is younger than his quarterback.
And it we've talked about it, like Njoku, got even Ingram last year. Like, it sometimes it takes these high pedigree guys a while to get going, and then they turn into elite players.
It was just unfair because we saw the tees for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, 1,000 yards
and then
as
it
a rookie.
Bombed. Mm-hmm. You know, went south. But. Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for us here. We're not going to be back until next Friday. We are transitioning back to Fridays for our shows, 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. every Friday for May and June. We love you guys. We will be back next week. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. You deserve it. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Hey, shout out to Greg Biffle, who's a nominee for the NASCAR Hall of Fame this year, the longtime driver of the Granger car.
Shut up!
At the NASCAR level, truck series.
How about that, Greg Biffle?
Yeah, Mark Martin drove a Granger car here a little bit, so I just wanted to get that shout out.
Shout out to our friends
Greg
over
Biffle
at Granger.
And Granger.
Absolutely.
Course, Philip Granger.
Dude, that was so good. Hey, by the way, this was a really good show. Thank you for finally showing up prepared for once.
It was actually, you actually did a good job.
You actually did a good job. Stefania, you always do.
I know. Well, no, no. No, I was off my game today.
If I'm one thing, I'm on time.
Out of practice. You are.
You're not always there when I call, but you're always on time.
Hey, that's my bell.
Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Granger. You'll find supplies and solutions for every industry when you call, click Granger.com, or stop by over 250 branches nationwide.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you. A Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?